covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Bob Brainerd.
Hi, everybody. Bob Brainerd in for Dom on a Tuesday night. This is Brewers Extra Innings, and you know, I don't want to be Debbie Downer here, and I'm really not, or Debbie Dan, or whatever you want to label it. But after being here on Sunday, Mother's Day, as a fan here at American Family Field, and watching that tremendous walk-off victory against the New York Yankees, Bryce Turang hitting the home run, two outs in the bottom of the ninth inning. I mean, it was Bill Hall magic all over again. Same number on the uniform, pink bat and everything. You sweep the Yankees, and you're thinking, what can they do for an encore? I mean, how do you replicate that excitement and enthusiasm? And, of course, the team had the day off yesterday. So in come the San Diego Padres, and you go, well, you know, it's not the Yankees, it's the Padres. But let me tamp that down a little bit, okay, if I may. The San Diego Padres came in first place, entering the game tonight by a half-game lead over the L.A. Dodgers in the NL West. So, like the Yankees who came into Milwaukee in first place in the AL East, this is a good ball club that the Brewers beat, just like the Yankees. And so there was no letdown. Craig Kishan joining me now from the TV side. There was no letdown tonight, even with the day off. You're not just riding that high in sweeping the Yankees and saying, oh, well, maybe we'll have a little hiccup, little downfall against another good ball club. But no, they got the job done tonight.
Yeah, they really did. And they're started a stretch here, really, for the most part, with their trip down to St. Louis and then home against the Yankees and now San Diego. They go up to Minnesota this weekend, obviously, and then they go to Chicago to meet the Cubs for the first time. They're in a competitive, meaningful stretch here, which is great. And they've started things out really, really well. I mean, the five-game win streak is perfect right now. A lot of things are going their way. And really the biggest thing to me through all this, too, is they're getting their key offensive players back. And they're winning with some of them contributing, but they don't need them all to immediately make an impact. You know, Christian Yelich coming back today, you know, took the collar. He was 0 for 4. But it's going to take a few games, I think, for him to get his swing back, too. So, but get contributions from guys like Joey Ortiz that really haven't been able to contribute much at all offensively yet, has been huge on this homestand so far. He's had some big hits, and, you know, he was responsible for a couple of the runs today, too. So, and the pitching, Bob, it's been really, really good. It's been, you know, the starters have done their job, and the bullpen has carried some innings and got some big outs. So what's not to like about what's happening right now?
Yeah, and it seems, Craig, whenever the Brewers, not just this five-game streak here that we're talking about in 2026, but over the years recently, when the Brewers get in a groove, it seems to be what we're seeing now. And you just touched on it. A lot of different guys will be the hero night in and night out. It's not like teams that are built around two or three superstars, and then they go hot or cold based on those guys. With the Brewers, you said it tonight, Joey Ortiz, big contributor. The pitching, all these different faces and different arms we've seen going in and out. Turang on Mother's Day. So I think that's a key, Craig, is that when this club is going well, when this club feels like they're in their best spot, it's because night in and night out, you don't know who's going to play hero ball.
No, and I mean, and on the pitching side tonight, it was Brandon Sproat. I mean, he had his best game as a Brewer. He won his first major league game tonight, but he's been knocking on the door for this for a few different starts here on the young season so far. But I thought today he looked very much in control against some big name hitters, even though some of those big name hitters for the Padres haven't done big things yet. You know darn well they are capable of doing big things in one swing of the bat, and he got some key outs here in this one. And I, you know, the thing I loved about him the most tonight is when the Padres ended up getting that 2-1 lead in the fourth inning, and then the Brewers came right back and had that big 5-run fourth, and he had, I think, a 7-pitch fifth inning. Talk about closing the door and make sure you don't give anything back and you're starting to face second time through the order. To me, that was a big tester that he passed for sure right there, that helped this club, you know, get that extra gear going to finish up this bowl game, with the bullpen coming in.
Craig, you've seen enough of Sproat now, and I've seen, you know, plenty as well, but you've seen a lot more. And to me, it looks like he's more confident with each start he's gotten in Milwaukee. He's become more and more confident, and you just plugged in the fact that he got real confident to not surrender any more runs after that and then have that quick inning. So have you seen that confidence growing from start to start?
Yeah, I mean, this guy's ready to go. There's no doubt about it. He just needs to get the reps in, and he's starting to get them right now. I mean, he's doing something that he's been doing his whole life for the first time for a major league club. And so, you know, yeah, he came over in a key trade, but it doesn't mean that he's going to be an instant hit. But he actually has been, because they've been patient with him. And they said it's going to be, you know, some growth along the way. I mean, he uses pretty much his entire mix of pitches. And, you know, he's at a point right now where, you know, some of those pitches are very meaningful. And he's getting, like tonight, he got his strikeouts and he got a lot of ground balls too. And that's the perfect 1-2 combination for any pitcher, especially, you know, a young kid like this. I mean, you know, if he continues to do that, he's filling a major role in the starting rotation right now.
Craig Kishon from Brewers TV joining me here on Brewers Extra Innings on a Tuesday night as Milwaukee wins their fifth in a row, 6-4, the damage done against the Padres tonight. One more thing before we take a break here, Craig, and that is the fact that you touched on the pitching. And they piecemealed it together after Sproat tonight, and they did it without Eric Lauer. I mean, wasn't it weird not seeing him?
That's a good one, Bobby. That's a good one. I love it.
I meant Aaron Ashby. I'm sorry. Ashby. Okay. I was picturing Eric Lauer. I don't know why, but Ashby. Let me try the funny line again.
Because he's worn both uniforms. So I got you there. That I hear you. All right.
That's it.
Yeah,
okay.
Ashby was and has been unbelievable, and it's great that he's got 2 full days rest, because that means he can pitch for the rest of the month every day the way he's going here right now. But yeah, that was a key. I think the thing that I liked how they used the bullpen here tonight was, you know, Drouin has gone. He got that 3-inning save on Friday night, and Patrick is, you know, quickly emerging as that another late inning guy right now. That seventh inning seems to be almost perfect for him, but he's obviously a guy that can give you multiple innings. And then McGill and Uribe, I mean, really the bullpen, this played out almost picture perfect, is the way the Brewers have really set the blueprint over the years, that your starter can at least get into the six, somebody can finish it, and then you have a 7, 8, 9 guy. I mean, it hasn't been this way all the time this year, but tonight was a little more textbook for that.
No doubt. I apologize for the Eric Lauer. Mr. Ashby, who we have seen time and time again this year, leads Major League Baseball in victories this year. He's a vulture, but vultures getting the job done on the hill when getting the call. When we return on Brewers Extra Innings, we'll talk a little bit more pitching and look ahead to game 2 of this 3-game set with the Friars. Bob Brainerd in for Dom on a Tuesday night here at American Family Field. This is Brewers Extra Innings with Wisconsin's weather all over the map, and we saw that today here in southeast Wisconsin. Now's the time to get ahead of the heat with Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Save $50 on maintenance plans through May 15th, or you can get $25 off an AC tune-up all month long. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment today at Sider.com. Bob Brainerd and Craig Kishon joining you on Brewers Extra Innings. Craig coming over from Brewers TV. And Craig, with Brandon Woodruff getting set, getting closer to coming back, you guys talked about Quinn Priester going back into rehab mode here, so eventually he'll come back into the fold. The importance you talked about with guys like a Chad Patrick and a Shane Drouin, and you know, like, where do these guys fit in the equation when you get some of these other important arms back? But I think we saw both of them tonight. They have a place and they do have a fit.
Well, you know, and my thing with that too, Bob, since these injuries, you know, to Woody and you know, some of these other guys that have been in and out here a little bit, You want to get Priester back. He's had a tough time bouncing back to get even going here. And
for sure.
You're not sure exactly when that's going to be, when he actually is going to return. So these guys very much have an important role on this team right now. There's no question about that. Plus, you just don't know what else is going to happen. If someone's going to, you know, have some type of a, you know, late May or June hiccup, another injury could pop up, you know, that type of thing. So these guys are all going to be in the mix. I mean, to me, if anybody's healthy on this staff, even some of the guys that are shuffling back and forth from AAA, they are going to be used, believe me, before the season's up, at least, you know, one trip back and that type of thing. So they need the depth. I think that's just the bottom line. It would be great to have, you know, Woody come back and be who he was, but it's not been an easy thing to do so far here. So he had a slow spring, and then he, you know, ran into a buzzsaw there with the dead arm. So just count on these guys. As long as they're healthy and they're effective, they're going to find a role for these guys to be on the big league team.
It's kind of like how Milwaukee approaches position players, where they love to gobble up as many players that can play multiple positions, infield, all over the infield, maybe infield and outfield. You've accumulated now, Craig, a bunch of pitchers who, like Chad Patrick, for example, he can start. He can give you late innings. He can give you middle innings. Drouin can start. If Sproat had that hiccup that you're talking about, you know he could plug in and not be affected, that he could give you quality innings. Eric Lauer, literally all over the board. We've seen him start games. We've seen him go start and then go 3-4 innings. We've seen him go middle, late now. So to accumulate a pitching staff like that, where guys don't complain and guys just go out and they fulfill their role no matter where it is, that's really a compliment to how this team is put together.
Yeah, and I've seen, you know, the biggest thing that I've noticed with the pitching staff, and especially, you know, especially with the relievers, just who they acquire and how they develop them and then how they use them. We've seen, you know, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years ago, when we started seeing more relievers come in and the evolution of the opener, like we saw the Padres do in tonight's game, and then you bring a starter in. You know, if some of these guys as starters or openers only go for a few innings to start out a game, these guys like, you know, Drouin and Patrick here right now, they've been kind of in Anderson's that way out of the bullpen here right now, and
right.
Ashby is obviously as well. D.L. Hall. I mean, you're talking about more than half the guys in the bullpen here right now that can give you multiple innings, but yet they can give you really effective innings like it's only one inning of, you know, work. So they're getting key outs. They're getting them in a hurry, and they can, you know, they can do the one up, go back, two up, go back, three up, and make it out. So and be effective. I think that's the bottom line. So this team has gone from having a bullpen full of I can pitch one inning, you know, almost every day to I can pitch, you know, multiple innings in consecutive days, have a day off, and then do the whole thing over for you. So that to me is kind of helped the lack of ability or the lack of desire, for that matter, for starting pitchers anymore to go as deep as we're talking about. So, you know, Sproten, you have to go five innings if you're a starter to get a win. And this was Sproten's, I think, seventh or eighth appearance or start on the season, and he really hadn't gone that far to qualify yet. So it just goes to show you kind of the evolution of where the starters have gone and how the relief pitchers have, you know, changed their abilities and their roles right now to all be kind of longer relief inning guys.
Craig touched on it earlier, the fact that before the game today, Christian Yelich welcomed back with open arms, activated off of the IL. With that corresponding move, though, Craig, they had to send Tyler, something had to give, so they had to send Tyler Black back to AAA Nashville. That's a shame because Tyler, we've seen him kind of yo-yo over the years now, go back and forth and come up and not really show a whole lot in short sample sizes. But this last batch, I think Tyler really, when he got that opportunity a few times, he really showed his stuff. He really looked really comfortable at the plate. So I think Tyler's on the speed dial here after what he showed in this last outing back up in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I mean, he sure might be. I think, you know, unfortunately for him, it took him a while to get his bat going. But sometimes, you know, you can blame that on the fact that he's a hard guy to put in the field right now. He really doesn't have a position. And yeah. had the injury really not been to Christian Yelich, to be honest with you, where Tyler Black was able to actually DH, I'm not sure he would have been the guy called up, or maybe he would have played even less. So that's kind of the downfall. You don't need him at third. You don't need him at first, the way you had things going. And, all right, so you could DH him, but that's only because Yelich was on the injured list still. So the good news is he did hit Major League pitching finally, and you know the times that he was called, he was able to answer the bell, which is good. Will that, you know, earn another trip up? You know, I'm not sure. If Christian Yelich is healthy, who knows? But if you just think down the line, when you start making potential trades and whatnot, now he might become a guy where other teams would say, you know what, I want to take a flyer on him, or I want to include him on a multiplayer trade, whatever it takes. You just don't know.
Yeah, and they always say that, you know, that somebody's always watching. So even if your future isn't with we're not trying to get rid of Tyler Black, but somebody's always watching, and somebody may look at what he did in his latest stint at Milwaukee and say, that's the kind of bat that we need. So you're right. Down the line, he could be a valuable piece. If it's not in Milwaukee, maybe elsewhere. We shall see. More of Brewers Extra Innings with Bob and Craig when we return. Buying or selling on Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Tony Wendorf & Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf & Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin. They're powered by Keller Williams. They bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you. WendorfTeam.kw.com. In for Dom on a Tuesday night, it's Brewers Extra Innings with Bob Brainerd and Craig Kishon from Brewers TV. Milwaukee beats San Diego for their fifth straight win of the season, 6-4 the final in game one of three with the Padres. I want to talk Bryce Terang with you, Craig. And this is a lot of angles here I want to discuss with you, because one of the things when I talk baseball with the typical Brewer fan they will run by me. What do we do about Bryce Tarang? And it's like, well, first of all, you enjoy him and the season that he's having, played in the World Baseball Classic, and now off to a great start here with the Brewers this season. But everybody, not everybody, but there's enough fans out there who are worried about the future. You know, are they going to extend him? Do they, they've got so much talent in their minor league system, that do they need a Bryce Tarang going forward? I mean, what do you do with a Bryce Tarang? And you're enjoying him like I'm enjoying him, but if you're looking at the future, how does this play out, do you think?
Well, I think, you know, first and foremost, the Brewers would love to keep him around here for a long time. I'm not the best at trying to figure out how these pro teams decide who would get offered, you know, a contract and who wouldn't. You know, with some of the, like with Jackson Churio and Pratt, right? He's the other one from that's still in the minors that they gave a big contract to. I don't know, like, how they decide to do that before they even play a major league game. I really don't, but yeah. They obviously know that these guys are surefire major leaguers. Once in a while, it doesn't work out. You know, with Roberts with the White Sox several years ago, I don't think it worked in their favor to do that before he started playing in the majors. But nothing's perfect. In a perfect world, you know, you play the system out the way it is in baseball, or you know. You buy out the arbitration years and whatnot. That's usually the big first contract. I think they can still do some of that with Tarang, but they may have missed their window, and he may have missed his window too of you know, making it worthwhile to buy out whatever he's got, you know, left, and then extend that big time. I'm sure if I'm his agent, the way he's going right now, Bob, my contract's going to be way bigger than just buying me out. You know what I mean?
yeah.
But I think I really, you know, because how big is buying out, you know, and what's it worth to you? But I'm not ruling that out. Like I say, I'm not real good at this other than to say the Brewers obviously would love to keep him as long as possible. I can't imagine a guy like Bryce Tarang not being in Milwaukee, quite frankly, his entire career. I think he's a perfect fit for what they've got going here. But I mean, if you're talking about $300 or $400 million contract over 10 years or something, I mean, I'm not sure. Because here's the thing: this club is one of the best, the very best in all of baseball at finding talent and drafting talent or signing free agent Latin talent and developing them into big timers. And I guarantee you in the next, let's say it's a 10-year deal, they'll find another second baseman. They will. They'll find at least one, if not two or three, because look at all the shortstops that convert over to second base. Look at their up-the-middle defense. Shortstops they draft that become center fielders. They've got a great eye on catching, and it all starts there. They're so good up the middle with their defense and drafting and developing and just moving guys around in the middle portion of that defense that first and third's kind of like, you know, we'll just see how this goes year to year. Same with the corner outfields, you know, outfielders right now. As much as they'd like to say, you know, they're really good, they have solidified their eye on making sure it's that up the middle defense. So somebody really good's got to play second base at some point if it's not Bryce Tarang, but there will be another one, I guarantee it, that because this club will find that person. So I'm not sure they want to give him a $300 or $400 million contract, to be honest with you, but they're not going to let him just leave, you know, and walk scot-free via free agent. They won't let it get that far.
Right, and therein lies, Craig, Kashan, therein lies the, you know, conundrum, if you will, that if you get approached or I get approached and people ask, okay, what do you do about Bryce Tarang going forward? And then you have to mentioned the farm system, which you just brought up, and all these names, and you can draft them as a third baseman or a shortstop or a second baseman. But to the Brewers, it doesn't matter. They will make that peg fit in the hole and make it fit in snugly. So you look past that. They will find the need on the big league club and then tailor you and convert you and groom you to slide into that position at some point. And if it comes to that, Milwaukee has a lot of options already in their system that can be a second baseman of the future, or somebody else slides over from third and then you might have a third baseman there. So to your point, yes, it would be great to have Terang here. He seems like somebody who wants to be here because he understands his role and his importance on this team and in that clubhouse. But, and there's the big but, you have all this talent that is already being developed as we speak. And it would be hard for them not to give that talent an opportunity at some point if Terang isn't here.
Yeah, and, you know, the other thing about all this, too, is I really feel like some guys are such perfect fits for certain clubs. And, you know, when they leave for bigger or better things, it comes down to careful what you wish for. But you know what? You wish for more money. You wish for the big contract. And
don't we all?
And if you've left and someone gives you that, then you've got it. And guess what? You don't have to perform for that. And I'm not saying guys don't want to. Don't get me wrong. I guess my point is, I can't imagine Bryce Terang somewhere else, even though he'd fit in perfectly, you know, in a lot of places. This is just such a perfect fit for him. He grew up a Brewer. They drafted him. They developed him. Everything with him has come along about is you know, well scripted to the point for his career and development and his stardom and his rise now. To all-star status as well. All that's coming for him. There's no question about that.
Last thing, Craig, regarding Bryce Terang, it is good to see him come off of being an important part of that World Baseball Classic Team USA squad where he really excelled and really showed out. And we all know about what he can do in Milwaukee, but he really showed the world what he could do on that big stage. But he hasn't lost a beat. You know, he's just carried over that momentum here this season. And I say that because I keep looking around Major League Baseball, and there are a lot of guys who are on Team USA or some of the other teams that have struggled. And that has been talked about over the years, that sometimes it just wears guys out and they don't have that spring training routine. And then they hit the Major League schedule and they find it hard to shift gears and kind of get back into that. Cal Raleigh is a really good example. Cal Raleigh has really not found his stride with the Seattle Mariners after what the Big Dumper did last year. So give credit to Terang for having a great World Baseball Classic and then just rolling it over here with the Brewers.
Yeah, it's a challenge to, you know, show up at spring training for, you know, basically a couple of weeks and, you know, get into the rhythm, be back with your teammates, and then all of a sudden you leave to go, you know, play in an all-star team against other countries' all-stars. But when you're there and you're playing these games, it is like playing in October. With the intensity and the meaning, that is a quick flip of the switch. And then when it's over, then you go back and it's like, oh, it's spring training again. We have two more weeks, maybe three more weeks before we start the major league season. And guess what? I'm so amped right now. It's not even funny. Don't tell me to dial down, but these guys got to dial it down a little bit because they're barely playing full games before spring training's even up. So, yeah, that's not easy to do. That's a great taste of an experience that very few players get. But you know why very few players get it? Because only elite players get to do that, and he certainly is one of them. And it's been fun to watch that development, really, you know, over time, and then really the stardom part of it in the last you know, basically season or so, season and a half. It's really been something.
Yeah, it was fun, especially on Mother's Day, and he was just so ho-hum, you know, golly shucks, you know, yeah, I just hit a walk-off home run. No, you go, Bryce Tarang. You're having yourself a great 2026. Craig Kishon from Brewers TV, he'll be back at it tomorrow night on your televisions across the nation, wherever you may be watching Brewers and Padres tomorrow. Thanks, Craiger.
Okay, Bobby, talk to you later.
When we come back on Brewers Extra Innings, we'll hear from the clubhouse. We will have highlights of this victory, a 6-4 win over San Diego, game one, the first of three with the Padres. 6-4 was the final count here at American Family Field. I'm Bob Brainerd in for Dom on a Tuesday night. This is Brewers Extra Innings. Pat Murphy, the skipper of your Milwaukee Brewers, had a lot to like about this one. Not only the final score of 6-4 in their favor, it was the Brewers' team high this season, fifth win in a row. He liked what he saw from his starting pitcher, Brandon Sproat. He liked what he saw from Joey Ortiz at the plate. As I said, lots to like for Murph.
Joey looked great, you know, and again, the kid's been through a lot. His defense has been fantastic, but, you know, he's got to follow it up. It was a great job. We know it's in there. Let's keep going. You know, and I'm really proud of him. Okay, the whole team was so excited for him. You know, that was one of the neat things of today was to see how the team reacted to him hitting a homer. You know what I mean? It was like a walk off. You know what I mean? The guys were just on the edge of their seat. And
Real think he had it again there.
I did. Yeah, I thought he hit it again. It was another great swing and. And he got one to bleed for him, which was great. And it's a day he'll remember. Sproat was very good, a couple mistakes, but he was good. Rohan, Patrick. McGill threw the ball good. He just gave up 2-0-2 hard contacts. It wasn't necessary. Uribe was great. So the pitching was really good. You know, offense, we did some good things. We put together that one inning with all those hits, but we were kind of silent after that.
How's Joey kind of been handling this start to the year?
I think it's been tough on him, you know. I mean, it's let's be honest, you know, it's tough on the kid. He spent the whole last year playing every day at short and did an incredible job. You know, his offensive numbers obviously were below league average, but, you know, he was on a winning team and doing winning things and, you know, kept his composure, even though offensively he wasn't performing as good as you'd like. But, man, you can't replace that defense. It's really good.
You guys have had a quicker hook with Sproat in some of these outings. What did you see tonight that kind of led you to bring back off of the sixth there?
Yeah, I mean, we were hoping. You know, we were hoping, like, hey, look, we got a nice lead here. Go out there, you can get it done. You know, he hung a breaking ball and then made another pitch down the middle. And, you know, his stuff was going down. You could see the difference in his stuff. But we want him to try to work through that and get, you know, still make pitches. You know, it doesn't mean just because your fastball's 97 to 95 or 94 doesn't mean you can't be effective with it. So we're hoping he could. And Drone came in and did a nice job. And like I said, the other three, Patrick, McGill, and Uribe, you know.
Did it look like there was a little bit of fatigue when you went back out there for the last inning? With the stuff going down kind of like you
talked about? Yeah. No, I mean, there definitely was. So that's been a concern, you know, that he does lose it fairly quickly and right around the 75-80 pitch mark.
Is that something a pitcher learns?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's obviously in great shape. It's...
Yeah, you don't coast yourself. You don't coast, you know, or pace yourself. But you have to learn to be in a good rhythm so you're conditioned enough to keep that thing going, and your delivery is really important. But like you said, this kid trains like heck, but maybe right now that's his max right now with all the other things that come into it, the adrenaline, and anxiety, all the other things that go with it.
Obviously, you want to get a fast start every game, but how much more important is it against this team with the bullpen
band? I mean, and everybody that knows the Padres knows that that bullpen is as good as there is. So it's hard to do because the pitching's good too. So you're playing a really good team. They have one of the best records in baseball, do they not? I mean, a couple of those guys in the middle, or not even in the middle, from Merrill to Tatis to Machado, we've seen way too much of Andujar. Bogarts, Castellanos' career, what he's done, Lariano. I mean, you're talking about Sheets is a guy that, man, I'm telling you, what couple of years he's put together. So, you know, they're a really capable team.
Yeah, capable. They came in tonight first place in the NL West before this game started, and the Dodgers are playing as we speak. But 24-16 when they started. They're now 24-17 after losing to Milwaukee. 6-4 was the count. Backtrack one note here to button it up on Joey Ortiz. He came into the game hitting 181. No home runs, just 9 RBIs. So he takes care, gets a couple more RBI, and gets his first home run of the season, which we're going to hear in the highlights coming up. But I'm going to Adam McKelvey, who covers the Brewers for MLB.com, and he tweeted out that Joey Ortiz took early BP on Tuesday, and it went terribly. And then Ortiz said he saw William Contreras in the cage, and he thought to himself, I want to be like William today. I think it worked out, said Ortiz to Adam McKelvey. Yeah, it did, because he hits his first home run of the season to get things jump-started in the 6-4 victory over San Diego. We will hear the Ortiz home run and so many other highlights as they cobble together the victory here in Game 1 of this series. Bob Brainerd in for Dom on a Tuesday night on Brewers Extra Innings. By the way, circling back one more time to what Pat Murphy said about this Padres bullpen, they avoided the back end of the bullpen, which is one of the best in all of Major League Baseball. You got guys like Estrada, Jason Adam can be super stingy, and of course, the closer, Mason Miller. If you can avoid Mason Miller and even Adam in front of him, if you can keep those two guys from taking the field, which the Brewers did tonight, they didn't see either one of them. They had the lead enough that they had got to avoid those two guys. So if they can do that in this series, that will bode well, because that is a key for the San Diego Padres. Tonight, the Brewers get them. 6-4 was the final score. Time for the highlights to tell you how it all happened.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Brought it back! Ho-ho-ho!
And this?
It is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
Yes, indeed, it was the Joey Ortiz coming out party for 2026. Came in hitting 181, no home runs, 9 RBI. He gets things started in the third.
1-2, fly deep, left field. Back goes Laureano, back track, back wall, see you later. Joey Ortiz has left the building. The first of the season for the Brewers shortstop. And Milwaukee strikes first, 1-0, bottom of the third inning, a deep one out to left.
The Padres did answer in the top half of the fourth against starting pitcher for Milwaukee, Brandon Sproat, to take a 2-1 lead. But Sproat settled down after that. Meanwhile, his offense bounced right back in the bottom of the fourth, starting with Sal Frelick.
1-1 pitch. Broken back ground ball, but it finds a hole through the left side and goes to the left. A base hit. Scoring Contreras. Bowers right on his heels. No throw. Wrong way. And a two-run single for Sal, who barely hit it hard at all. He just put it into a perfect spot. The Brewers lead it 3-2.
Yep, grabbed the lead for good right there. But just to tack on a few more, we were just talking about Bryce Tarang, so here he is again.
Right-handers, 3-2 pitch. Grounded fair inside the bag, down into the left field corner. That'll score both of them. The left fielder, Laureano, finally gets to it, throws it in. Tarang's at second with a wrong-way two-run double. They're peppering the opposite field. And the Brewers have scored 5 in the fourth. They lead this game 6-2.
There you go, Josh, with the perfect recap. 5-run inning in the fourth for Milwaukee to lead it by 4. Now, San Diego chipped away, got a run back in the sixth, and one in the eighth to make it 6-4. It was a little dicey there, but the Brewers' bullpen was able to dance out of any trouble and keep it at 6-4. Capped off with Abner Uribe in the ninth.
Uribe, first pitch. There goes the runner. It's a ground ball to second base. Big hop for Terang. Throws to first in time. And the Brewers have taken game one by a final score of 6-4 over the Padres. A season-high five-game winning streak for the crew.
So there you go. Final 6-4. So Uribe gets the save. Sproat gets his first major league win. Nibbled his way all the way into the sixth inning. And as I mentioned, after giving up that lead early in the third, he settled down to get W number one for Brandon Sproat. When we come back on Brewers Extra Innings, we will wrap things up here on this Tuesday evening. Get you set for what could be a wonderful Wednesday. Before we put this Brewers Extra Innings edition to bed, quick scoreboard update for you. The Atlanta Braves took care of the Chicago Cubs tonight. So with the Brewers' victory, their fifth of the year, they now trail Chicago by 2.5 games in the division. San Diego came in first place, a half game up on the L.A. Dodgers, but they dropped down to 24-17 with the Dodgers playing out west. So that's how the standings shape up for these two ball clubs. If they get ready for game two tomorrow night back here at American Family Field, and the pitching matchup, it promises, has the potential, shall we say, to be a good one. The Miz is going. Jacob Mizorowski for Milwaukee. He's 3-2 with an ERA of 2.45 and 70 strikeouts. One of the strikeout leaders in all of Major League Baseball. The Miz will be back on the bump for the Brewers on Wednesday night. He will oppose San Diego's Michael King. Same record as the Miz at 3-2. Close in the ERA, just 2.76, and he's got 45 strikeouts. King coming off of injured the tail end of last season, but he has bounced back and has been a key contributor to this San Diego rotation to start the 2026 campaign. The pregame show begins on the Brewers Radio Network at 6:10, and the first pitch is scheduled for 6:40. Game two between the Friars and the Beer Makers here at American Family Field on Wednesday night. That'll do it for this Tuesday edition of Brewers Extra Innings. For our producer pressing all the buttons back at the home base, Matt Yazel. For Craig Kishon from Brewers TV, I'm Bob Brainerd. Thanks for listening. You have been dialed in to Brewers Extra Innings.